Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, please. The song that we have just sung together reminds us of the hope we have in heaven if, in fact, we are in Jesus Christ. And it calls upon each and every one of us to have a commitment that lasts day to day, not sporadically, not periodically, but a devoted discipleship that calls upon us to respond to God's Word in this day and every day we have breath. But we find sometimes that we might be out of step with God's Word. We find at times that we're distracted by the things of this world or maybe caught up in the thinking that others have presented and that might appeal to us such that we're not who we ought to be. But it's at those times that we look to God's Word presented by those who are faithful to God, and we find an example to follow, and we find a call to discipleship, a call to fidelity, a call to stand with and for God. Elijah is an individual who stood with God. Now, he is not a perfect man. He's not a sinless man. And he's not a man who always had the same courage as we're going to see in this text today, but he is a faithful man, even though he had difficult days. Now, I've asked you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'd like to actually ask you to look at 17, just at verse 1, because this is during the rule of King Ahab of Israel. It's at this time that God has commanded and encouraged Israel, with her leadership, to repent, to turn back from their idolatry. And he did so through Elijah the Tishbite. It says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' And when the king and his people faced not only the days that soon followed, but then the days that extended upon days and more days, we find that they found themselves in severe drought, in a time of famine, in a time of need for some 3 years." And that's where we are in our text in 1 Kings chapter 18, where we'll take our lesson. Because it's there it come to pass, verse 1, "After many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, 'Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.' So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria." Now in the next section of the text, we're going to predominantly read about Ahab, about Elijah, and about the children of Israel in general. But there is going to be a mention of this woman by the name of Jezebel. Now Jezebel is going to be mentioned in particular in verse 4, but I want to just remind you for a moment about who she is. Jezebel is a Gentile woman, a Sidonian. But more than that, she is someone who worshipped the false god Baal. Now, Baal was a false god whom the Sidonians and other nations put up as a god of fertility, a god of power, a god of fire. And she worshipped him. Now, typically, it was the case that when people honored these false gods, they would generally adapt any and all these false gods to accept them. "Well, if you worship another god, that's fine. I'll just worship the ones I want, and maybe I'll add a little bit of Baal in with mine, because, you know, I don't want to be on the wrong side of any god." And so, generally speaking, the Gentile world would just adopt all these different gods, one on top of the other. But Jezebel understood that God desires, He expects, He commands obedience and allegiance, an exclusivity to honor and to praise and to worship. And so Jezebel is not like a lot of the other Gentiles who would just sort of say, "Well, you know, you're okay and I'm okay and we'll just accept all the false gods and everyone will be happy." Now she saw that God was the God of Israel, and she didn't like that. Her husband Ahab was the king of Israel, and so what she sought to do was to dethrone God for Israel and put Baal in his place. And she influenced her husband in that way. He went after her, after these false gods as well. And in fact, it says in verse 4 of chapter 18, she was not willing to let all stand together, but instead Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. She has no interest in currying the favor of God. She wants to unseat him from the throne. And at least for a time, she certainly has done that in the life of her husband, Ahab, and has done that with the children of Israel, because they have gone after the Baal. And so when we come into 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to have Elijah coming into a situation in which the king, his wife, and all those who are actively engaged in religion are for this false god. And guess what? The children of Israel went along with them. And so Elijah stands very much, in a lot of ways, alone. And maybe you feel that way sometimes. Who is for God? Are you? Now, there's no doubt that Elijah is a man who is faithful to God. We've seen over the past text that he is someone who followed God's command. That when he was told by God, you go out to this deserted place, to this brook, and I'll provide for you your food and your water, that's exactly what he did. And when he was told after a period of time from there to go into the Sidonian city and find the widow of Zarephath, and you ask of her food and water, and she'll provide for you, he did that. He's a faithful man. He's serving God even in this difficult time, and it says that he has been doing so for these 3 years. Now, I don't mean to say that this is the sum total of his worship or of his fidelity, but I'm saying that this was a difficult time that expanded for a period of time in which he honored, he served, he was faithful to God for these 3 difficult years. But is he alone? I have no doubt that Elijah, while he was away with that widow in Zarephath, taking care of her and her son, that he felt in a lot of ways, alone. Because he had left his people, the Israelites, with King Ahab and Jezebel, worshiping Baal. Has the famine and has the drought been causing a good effect? Has anyone come along who will stand with him? Well, there is another man. And he has been proving himself to be faithful while Elijah has been away. The prophet tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah. Now, this Obadiah is not the same Obadiah we have the book from. That's a prophet of God. This is a servant of a king. But this Obadiah is also faithful to God. And it says of Obadiah, he was in charge of the king's house. Parenthetically, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And he tells us how it is that this man demonstrates his faith in God. For so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. Here's the man. Elijah has gone away. He is in the king's house and he's faithfully serving God. He saw a need and he met the need by hiding these prophets from their certain death. Now, if you think about it, that sounds an awful lot like Joseph, who was faithful to a man in charge of a nation and who brought about the safety of others who would have otherwise died. So you see, in these difficult times, there are those who are faithful to God. And they don't seek recognition. They seek to serve the Lord and living God. And so here is a man who saved these 100 prophets, it seems. And along with Elijah and Obadiah, there were these 100 prophets of God in hiding. We were not told as to when that happened, whether that was previous to this or concurrent with this. But he is honored by God with that remembrance. And it says in verse 5, and Ahab had said to Obadiah, go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock. So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, I don't know that there's any answer to this, but I do find it interesting that the king, Ahab, is going out on an exploratory journey looking for water, looking for food. But I think it goes to show just how desperate this man and his house is. But it says in verse 7, now as Obadiah was on his way, so see, he's faithful to God, he's faithful to the king in the respective ways. But it says, as he was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, is that you, my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, it is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. You see, Elijah was true to God's word. When God said, Elijah, get up and go back, you talk to the king again, that's what Elijah did. He sought an audience with the king. Now, Obadiah is a faithful man. He's given instruction to go as well. But you know, just like we sometimes, he had to deal with feelings, with concerns, with the emotions of the moment, and the uncertainty of tomorrow. The man expresses in this next text feelings of doubt and a concern for self-preservation. And we would all understand this would be a natural thing. And so he says in verse 9, how have I sinned that you're delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, go and tell your master, Elijah is here. It shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I don't know. So when I go to tell King Ahab, and he can't find you, he'll kill me. Can you see the man's concern? Can you put yourself in his place for just a moment and think about the challenge that this might be to your faith? I'm out here just looking for water, for something to feed the animals, and here is Elijah the prophet telling me to go back to the king, but Elijah, I'm not sure you're going to be here. You've been gone these 3 years. We couldn't find you. What makes you think we're going to find you this time? And I'm the one risking my neck to do this. But he said, But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to you, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say to me, go tell your master Elijah's here. He will kill me. Well, the older prophet, he repeats his instructions. He speaks to the man and patiently reminds the younger man that he needs to trust in God. Verse 15, Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. And I think this is perhaps a good time to say we need to sometimes be reminded and reassured without always being scolded. Sometimes when we're fearful or we're concerned about how things are going to turn out and the unknown of this moment and what we're being asked to do, sometimes we just need to be reassured that this is the right thing to do. Well, certainly there's a time for rebuke and even at times sharp rebuke. But we see here a prophet of God speaking to a man with patience, confidence, and what it does is translate into obedience. Because that man had a choice to make too. Will I or will I not listen to this, the word of God from the prophet? But it says in verse 16, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and he told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. There's a time to scold, to rebuke. But there's also, I think, more often a time to encourage, to reassure, to speak with confidence and to give direction that is direct and that points in the right way. And I also see here there are times in which a faithful teacher needs the help of others to get that audience. He allowed the man an opportunity to prove himself faithful to God and to bring the king to the presence of the prophet, but it required something of the man and of the king. And it's from that that we find good things coming. But look at verse 17, because here's where something changes. Because we've got these two individuals for sure, Obadiah and Elijah, faithful to God. We've got the king interested at least to come find Elijah. But in verse 17, it happened that when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And the question is, who's the real troublemaker? And yes, I have the question, are you? Am I? What had Elijah done to receive such a reaction from this king? Didn't he simply announce the words of God? Didn't he simply tell the king what God told him to say? And really, it's God who's doing the work. It's God who's withholding the water. It's God who's challenging these people to consider whom they serve. It is God who has given the instruction, and it is God who desires and demands the respect and repentance of the people. And yet this king is calling this man, the messenger, the troublemaker. Elijah, verse 18, answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." The reality is that Ahab is the troublemaker. He is the reason for this drought and for this famine. If it weren't for the king's idolatry and disregard for God's law, there wouldn't have been a famine at all. Now, Ahab could really look back to his earlier decisions. I'm not saying that he wasn't a mess before he met Jezebel. He seems to have been. But add to all that he added to his own life, he married a woman who was an idolatrous woman, who worshipped false gods over the one true and living God, and made it her goal to eliminate, eradicate, just silence any effort to worship God. And so here's why we have a man saying, "You're the troublemaker," to the messenger who's simply faithful to God. You see, the ungodly will often resort to these kinds of lies for at least two reasons. To win over others, so that everyone else hears what this king, Ahab, says and sides with them against the prophet of God, the messenger of God. Or, and maybe even and, to discourage the righteous. To add into their thinking, maybe I am the problem. Maybe I'm the one out of step here. All I thought I was doing was worshiping God, but maybe I'm the one who's really stirring things up. Well, Elijah's not going to have any of that. Elijah understands that this is a lie, that he's not the one who is trouble and troublemaking. And so let's think about an application for ourselves. Who's the real troublemaker in our own lives? When we're involved in sin, we are. When I'm involved in sin, I'm the troublemaker in my life. I am the one at odds with God, and the same is true for each and every one of us. Now, the devil and those who work with him, they're involved. There's no doubt about that. I don't take away responsibility from Jezebel or from all of Israel for going along with the king. But really, sin is a choice. And that's why in the Proverbs, the wise father says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Because that's what sinners do. They entice us. But we have a choice in the matter. Will I go along with the troublemaker and become my own troublemaker? Or will I honor God? And the reality is that it's dishonest and it's not helpful to anyone to blame others for our choices or our consequences for our choices. That's exactly what Adam and Eve tried to do when they stood before God in giving answer for why they sinned against Him. And one pointed to the other, and then she pointed to the devil, and they're responsible. And they can't escape that. They failed. Because that's not a reason. And we mustn't try to shift blame for our circumstances upon those who are simply trying to live righteous lives and who offer us help in our doing so. The best thing to do is to be honest. To repent right away. That's what Ahab should have done. And that's what Israel should have done. And that's what Jezebel should have done. And that's what we must do if we're involved in sinful living. Now Elijah the prophet proposes a gathering. He wants to get everyone together in one place. Verse 19. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now when you think about everyone who's involved here in this text, and this real life situation, it's really about who each and every one of them will honor with their lives. It's really about what they think about God. And it's going to be an opportunity for each of them to demonstrate that. And so who is God? Are you? I'm not. And I know you're not. And when we're clear thinking about this, we understand that we're not. But the reality is when we choose our will over God's will, we're choosing to do what we want to do. We are setting ourselves up as the God of our own lives. That's what Ahab's done. And look at verse 20. We find Ahab. And he does respond to the prophet, and I give him credit for that. But listen, responding in some ways to the instruction of God does not make one altogether right in every way. Because what he does here is he does gather the children of Israel. He gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and he said, Elijah the prophet speaks to the king and to these prophets and to the people. How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. This reminds me of the words of Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here is the prophet saying, you got to make up your mind. You can't keep walking this line of saying, oh, we'll honor God and we'll honor Baal and everything is fine. He said, you got to decide. But I want you to notice, this would have been a good time for anyone who believes in God to speak up. To stand up. And to stand with the prophet, the righteous man. But notice in verse 21, the people answered him not a word. The Holy Spirit observes that there is not a person among all those children of Israel and amongst all those religious people who would answer where they stood. And none of them said they would stand with God. And I think that's significant. And I think there's a lesson there. Because we might find ourselves in a situation like this where there's an opportunity to make our faith known, to take a stand, and to answer, yes, I believe. I've not always done the right thing, but I do believe, and I will do the right thing. But we might be tempted by the devil to remain silent and just go along with the crowd. Or go along with the family. Or go along with friends. Or go along with the schedule. Go along with whatever it is that's calling our attention away from God. And the reality is we live in a world in which most who claim to follow God actually worship a false version of God. A God who has perhaps the same name that they give Him, but bears more the image of man and the desires of man than the one true and living God. And the reality is even a false God that bears some resemblance to the true and living God is still a false God. The false God won't save us. The false God won't come to our rescue. The false God will not be there on the day of judgment and excuse us from our sins and grant us entrance into eternity with the true God of heaven. And that's really more what we'll see in the next text. But these people, when given the opportunity, answered not a word. And you can imagine the feeling of Elijah as he stands there and faces this gathering of people. And not a one says, I believe. Brethren, we've been wrong. And so the people's earlier rejection of God for a false God has now been brought to them to this point. They've been suffering for this period of 3 years, all because of their own decision. They wonder why. Well, here's the why. You've been following the wrong God. And now it's time to make a decision as to whom you're going to serve. Make up your minds and do it. But they won't. Now, it's not that a change of heart and a change of mind is impossible. It is possible, and that's called repentance. And the reality is, when we're wrong, the right thing to do is repent. And the prophet here demonstrates great faith as he gathers so many who oppose God and His people. Verse 22, Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. He's willing to declare his allegiance, to stand in the face of this crowd who have sought his life as well as the life of others who worship God. And you know, the reality is that this man's faith will be rewarded. He witnesses the victory. He observes and experiences the superiority of the living God over the false gods Baal and over the false prophets. But the truth is, whether he experiences success this day himself, whether he is put to death and even breathes another breath, he stood with God. He did the right thing. He was willing to carry it out in his own choices, in his own life. And that's a lesson for us. As you face challenges that perhaps niggle at you or cause you to feel doubt or distraction or the opportunity to choose something, anything else, stand with God. Speak for God. Attend to God, to His Word. Even if it means going against everyone. This man will prove that it's not easy and that there are going to be difficulties even greater ahead. But let's answer this question. Who is for God? Are you? Who is the real troublemaker? If we're at odds with God and at odds with the righteous of God, then we're causing our own trouble. And that trouble will visit us on the final day. If we haven't changed our direction, our course, and our relationship with God, because who is the real God? It's not me and it's not you. It's the God of heaven who was involved in this day, on the day when Elijah stood before the king and all these false prophets and all the children of Israel and gave answer to God. And it's the same God whom we represent and we speak for today as we read His Word. And it's the same God who will stand before in judgment. So why would we choose to do anything like the king, the queen, or the children of Israel who at this time say nothing, do nothing, but call the righteous the troublemaker? I encourage you, keep reading. Keep reading your Bibles. Keep reading this text. And come back again to find out more about this victory that there is with God and of His people and the faithful prophet. I encourage you more so in this moment to stand firm with God. And if you've compromised your faith, if you've compromised your faith and your commitment in any way, well, the Word of God commands us all to examine ourselves, to test the Word, and to obey the Word with trust and with confidence that it is the right way. And we stand ready to help you this morning. And if we can help you in making your life right, whether it's as a child of God who has sinned in such a way that you need the prayers and forgiveness of someone here, or as someone who is outside of Christ, you need to come into Christ and receive that blessing of salvation and all spiritual blessings and renewal of life and of the hope He has for you. We stand ready to help you. Won't you please come? While we stand and sing the song selected.